Please find a seat, strap yourself in, and wait for mission control.
I'm not strapping myself into a Corbin. We gotta get out of here.
I hope you found a seat. I want you to be safe.
Did you just threaten me?
Pierce, you're talking to an Atari cartridge. Sit down.
Just as Kentucky Fried Chicken's secret process seals in the flavor, I'm sealing the cabin's air so you don't explode on your journey.
It's the one sound effect that I have that Chris doesn't.
It's a classic.
This is a very odd Talk Radar 129. Not really. Shouldn't be bothered to be numbered because we're recording it on Friday, the same day you're listening to 128. Next week is Thanksgiving week, as all of you in America know. And we're off for half the week. Everyone's really busy. Chris is being cranky pants. And we're just going to record a quick cast. We're going to go through some phone calls, go through this week's top seven, which isn't posted yet, so no one here has read it but me. But I'm Brett Elston.
I'm Michael Raparez.
Joining us on Talk Radar first time, really, is...
Yeah. Hello, it's Carolyn.
All right.
Hi, Carolyn. Carolyn Goodmanson, everybody.
That was Carolyn. This is Charlie.
And Tyler Wild, in case you couldn't tell.
Hey, there's another one. All the sound effects Chris had a year ago.
I can tell because you were so wild when you said that.
Shut up.
I've done all the greats.
Hey.
This is good, clean fun.
This is our Talk Radar Thanksgiving unspecial.
Yep. All right. So, yeah, we don't have time to go through. This was another situation where this is in lieu of nothing, everyone. There was almost no podcast, but instead it's Friday at 4:30 and we're gonna crank this one out. It's gonna be shorter than usual, but this is there was possibly nothing. Chris isn't even on it. That's how cranky pants he is right now.
And we're all gonna go back to work immediately after
this. Yes, we're gonna go back to work. But posting Monday, which we haven't read yet, is top seven from one of our freelancers, Tom
Goulter.
And it's the top seven geek movies that should never be made into games. So geek movies. I don't have the document in front of me, although I probably should have. But I do know number seven on the list.
This is going to be fun.
It is. I remember number seven on the list. Yeah, there's no game deals this time. The 128 had a shitload of game deals.
Yeah, so there's no game deals this week.
Just listen to...
Period.
This is the least important week for game deals.
Well, you have two options.
Least important week for deals, period.
Well, they all came out last week. We've already made them known. Today is Wednesday, the 24th, so you will see Chris has posted an entire article on GamesRadar.com full of all those Black Friday deals. So if you're wanting to get games, the one I'm really most excited about that no one will ever get to take part in is Toys R Us buy one, get one for $5.
Why won't anyone get to take part in that?
Because it's one of those insane doorbuster deals that unless you're there at like 4:01 a.m., you will not get it. And they will set aside 10 copies, sell out of them, and then magically have 10, 50 more afternoon.
Right. So if you go to a Toys R Us and they're like, oh no, we're sold out of
they're
it.
Not
clearly,
sold out.
Clearly the response, correct response is to riot.
Just tell them.
You and the rest of the crowd push your way back to the locked booth.
Trample some children if you can.
Tell them they're a liar and spit in their eye.
Yep.
Because that has happened in front of me. Didn't happen to me.
So clearly it should be done.
It didn't happen to me, but I've watched people get spit in the eye over Game Boy Pockets.
Make sure you spit blood in their eye.
Yeah, if you could punch yourself in the mouth first. But yeah, the top seven this week was game movies that should... Nerd movies that should never be made into games. Because there's that kind of creeping in now, like, we never made a game of this. We should totally...
Right, the Back to the Future games are coming out soon.
Yeah, there were Back to the Future games back then, but they were terrible. But now that they're like, what if we tried it again? And, I mean, it's Telltale, isn't it?
Yeah.
So there's a potential for good there,
but
there just still seems to be this... There's a thing we haven't exploited.
The Warriors game, Ghostbusters game.
Yeah. But those were both pretty alright.
I'm saying that's the
trend.
These
are good examples. Okay. Yeah.
And these are the bad examples.
But Hackers. Number seven was Hackers. I don't have Chris's number seven number.
Number seven.
I asked for him, but I got a scowl and a hand wave. So
sounds like Chris
Hackers. A 1995 movie that has a very, very young Angelina Jolie in it.
Did anyone actually see that?
Yes, I saw it. I saw it at the Castor Theater.
Oh, that's good.
What? Really? Oh, damn it! I didn't see.
Oh, that's right. You weren't there. It was just me, Chris, and Scott. Oh, Mike Grimm was there. It was great.
Fight the planet!
Oh, there he is.
There's so many good quotes, and the bad guy's hilarious.
What's the hacker's about? Is that the one where she goes out to dinner with that guy to get him to say the password words, and the very last one she couldn't get him to say? Is that the same movie?
I have no idea.
Maybe.
That sounds like a thing that would be in that movie.
And then he falls for it, even though the last word is like something silly like...
Hippopotamus.
And she's like, you know what word I think is really sexy? Hippopotamus. Just say it for me. And he's like, okay, why? Like, hello, that's the password you use to get into your secret vault every day. Like,
no, it's definitely not a vault, because this is all, like, internet and cyberspace. And it's one of those movies that, like, right as the internet is coming around, like, every vision they have of what hackers look like and what hackers do and the lifestyle they lead is this glamorized... And they're trading everything on floppy disks. Like, man, I got the secret code. It's like, there's 1 meg on that fucking disk.
But isn't that what they basically think it's like cyberpunk, basically?
Basically.
It's amazing how campy it is already, because we saw at the Castor Theater as part of one of those Midnight's for Maniacs marathons that we've talked about before. And I thought, oh, that's a pretty recent movie, but it's already just as good as watching like something from the 80s or from the 70s. It was like a completely different world. Like, what their idea?
Are the disc copying sequences as intense as those in The Net with Samuel?
they might be more so.
Oh, and they're narrated by, like, it's almost the same soundtrack as the Mortal Kombat movie the same year.
I should say tense, not intense.
You have there's some good video game moments in there too, where there's playing giant like plane games on like movie theater sized screens.
Just like all hackers
have. Toys.
I feel like there's like a lot of Wipeout reference, like the game Wipeout, Psygnosis or whatever.
I think
Hackers was before Wipeout.
It was before it was out, but it's like the PlayStation was launching that year as well, so there was definitely a lot of like. So the phrase that came out of that was "hack the planet," which I'm not even done playing.
Hack the planet!
He's being stuffed into a cop car, yelling this out.
I've been getting the car. Hack the planet! Hack the planet!
So, hack the planet. But
and we're saying this shouldn't be made into a game.
Should not be made into.
Have you seen The Sopranos, Michael?
Yeah.
The psychiatrist Lorraine Bracco.
Uh huh.
She's in the movie.
Wow.
I think she's just a very classy older lady, and she's
also in Goodfellas.
I think she has a sexy scene in Hackers.
Oh, you also see Angelina Jolie topless in this movie.
Short-haired Angelina Jolie.
I think she's like 19 or 20.
And the bad guy is the guy from Short Circuit 2.
Yeah, it's Benjamin. I can't do his accent. So.
And he's
skateboarding down the hallway. Like, that's a menacing thing to do.
I would say they should make a game of it then that's just about Angelina Jolie's boobs, but they already retroactively did that with Lara Croft.
Yeah.
So I guess
she was Lara Croft for 2 years and then didn't. And then they didn't make a movie game, but they made a game to come out with the movie.
Right.
It's just confusing.
It's very confusing.
Number six.
I guess we never talked about why that would be a bad game.
Who cares? Nobody cares.
How can any movie inherently be a bad game?
Because it's a possible target because it's a beloved geek movie that, like, people, I don't know, that time period, we kind of fondly remember this silly, ridiculous movie.
I don't know that
movie.
It was actually beloved by geeks. I think it's a beloved camp movie.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But, like, the only people who bother to like it at all, even in that way, are people like us.
Like, I guess.
I don't know. I don't really hear...
Ugh. Can you
show a copy of Gummy Bear's mini golf?
There's a gummy bear playing golf on the cover with a rainbow coming out of his head.
This is a rainbow. But hey. It's a target just because the game is so filled with like game references, and isn't this what internet culture is like? And now that there is internet culture, I could see them taking the name and trying to do something with the name and that style and then trying to update it. Like, this is today what it would be like. It's like, no, really, it's okay. Because the same thing will happen. You will look horribly dated and silly in exactly 12 years.
I don't think they'd make it now, but I can see like in 10 years that movie will be a real... Like right now, it's kind of... People sort of are starting to realize that it's really funny now, but I think within 10 years it's going to be a real cult favorite. Mm. And then they might try to make a game out of it.
Hide the blood!
He goes on and on. Who's the lead actor in that? I can't... the blonde dude. He's like trying, the cop is like got his hand on his face, trying to shove him in a police car.
Stop! What?
And he's still no. I have to yell.
Matthew Lillard's in that movie too.
He is
from Wing Commander.
Yeah.
Well, also Wing Commander and In the Name of the King,
Scream,
a Dungeon Siege Tale.
Yeah, it's all about Wing Commander.
But number six in the list, I remember, was The Dark Knight, which I tried to get Chris's sound effects for, and that didn't happen. So number six is The Dark Knight. This is
it could be a good game, but it'd have to be done.
They already made it into a game. It was called Arkham Asylum.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. Batman Begins had a game, and it was pretty crappy. It like had half the idea of like, no, you should use the shadows and be a predator.
It had some good ideas.
It had good ideas, but it's like, I'm actually very wasn't the story that EA was already making the game. And then they just were like, no, just forget it. And they just pulled it and didn't finish. I don't remember the full story of the game, but it was announced and it was a thing. And, of course, we're going to have a Dark Knight game. We have the Batman license. Of course we would do this. Or whoever it is that had the movie license. It may not have been EA. But they just didn't. And they had this movie come out. They could have had a movie adaptation. And rather than have another Batman Begins game through, maybe let's just go ahead and sell a million copies of this game because it says The Dark Knight on it. They probably could have made a ton of money. And there were even stories after the movie came out that somebody was like, that company just lost like millions of potential dollars because they would have sold a ton of games based solely off the name being on that game box.
Yep.
But they didn't. And instead, we waited an extra year and we got Arkham Asylum out of it, which an immensely better deal.
EA also did the Catwoman game, didn't they?
Did they? I remember that. Like,
throw someone into it.
Those two came out like within a couple years of each other. And
Catwoman was 2004, I think.
Okay.
And then Batman Begins was 2005. So
right.
I mean,
so yeah,
they could have made a Batman game
similarly
with a Dark
awful.
Knight title on it, but it wouldn't have been a Dark Knight game. It'd be almost impossible to make a game that actually is true to what Dark Knight the movie is like.
Yeah, to make it a game that was trying to replicate what that movie did.
Yeah, those scenes wouldn't be fun to play. I'm now walking into an office building in Hong Kong, and I'm going to secretly leave a cell phone at the front counter.
Like, can you imagine like a Joker interrogation scene with quick time events?
Yeah, that would be the like stealth mission, and then you get to like smash through a window and
then
beat up five.
Then you'd watch a cutscene of that whole tunnel chase where the Joker shoots a missile at Batman's ride, and you don't get to play any of it.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I guess I just feel like action movies. Usually, if they try to do sort of an accurate video game portrayal, it's really boring because film scenes don't translate to fun games usually.
See Terminator 3, the game.
Like sometimes do when it's like the action movie is just an action movie, just like fun action. Like this movie's Dark Knight was too much. Like the action always had a very dark, sinister undertones that were not so much about the action.
Right.
That wouldn't translate to a game.
They just have to loosely translate films.
I'm happier to have the movie do a very good movie Batman, and then Arkham Asylum come a year later, and we get a very good Batman universe game that has the villains and the comic books, and it's very comic booky. I don't think I even want a game that's based on a very realistic version of Batman, as realistic as it can be. Because Dark Knight really brought it way back down to earth more than I think any interpretation of Batman, as far as a movie or TV show goes, has ever been. And to make a game out of that, you're inevitably going to have to start introducing ridiculous video game things in it, and then it's just not going to work at all. So I'm glad this was a case of temptation that they actually managed to avoid, and it didn't happen. So it kind of doesn't even count as an entry because it didn't happen. It could have.
It also doesn't count as an entry because it doesn't exist yet.
Not yet, it doesn't.
Games based on movies don't have to follow the narration of the movie, like it doesn't.
It's not so much the narration; it's just that tone of that movie.
Yeah, you can get the tone right in a game.
I mean, there are good and bad examples of that too. Like Spider-Man 2, the game went way off the rails from the movie, and like introduced Black Cat and all this other interesting stuff, and like that was pretty good. And then you've got a game like Superman Returns, which completely ignores anything that happened in the movie, and it's just like, oh no, this is what happens when you don't the things you don't see in the movie, and it was horrible.
And they got lucky canceling it because it would have seemed really tasteless to have Heath Ledger in a game at all.
What about things like Reservoir Dogs?
Reservoir Dogs was basically like a slightly better version of 25 to Life.
Better?
Yeah. 25 to Life was fucking abysmal. Like, Reservoir Dogs was at least entertaining. It wasn't very good.
Yeah.
But it's just sort of that same thing that Eidos was cranking out at the time. Like, let's make a Max Payne style shooter without bullet time or anything fun, and you can't jump, and your paths through levels are denoted by very low obstacles that anyone could climb over.
It sounds like Kane and Lynch.
It was like a precursor to Kane and Lynch, and in fact, my first reaction on playing Kane and Lynch at a preview event was like, wow, this is like Reservoir Dogs if it didn't suck. And it turns out I was wrong. It did suck.
Nothing about Reservoir Dogs, nothing that made it good as a film would make it good as a game. So having that license is just going to be crippling in the end, which is why it's sometimes a bad
idea. I mean, the fact that the only person who came back for it was Michael Madsen, that should tell you something.
Will grunt for a sandwich.
I think that's what I'd said, yes.
Number five. I believe it is one of the few left. I have the games written down. I do not know the order because I can't access the network in here to see the document that has the list. I think number five is Serenity.
That's why you're looking at that YouTube.
Yes, I had a menagerie of YouTube videos playing today.
Wasn't there a Firefly MMO?
There was one announced like in 06 that they were going to make a Firefly MMO, and then it never happened.
A lot of MMOs never happen.
Funny that.
Most I did pull a clip of...
Sure as I know anything, I know this. I am to misbehave.
Oh, there you go.
Wow, that was loud.
Yeah.
What the fuck? That was such a great tagline for the game, then.
Which one of these is...
I believe there's still a fan site dedicated to bringing that MMO to fruition with that regular news update.
Jesus Christ. I mean... is I don't even know if I'd want to play in that world that much.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like it's not the world that's as interesting as
it's
the characters.
And if I can't be constantly around Mal and that team, like I was never shown enough about anyone else to care. It's not like Star Wars where there's been so much said about everyone who's ever been in that series that you can have a book or an MMO.
I mean, the world
was
always just kind of like an interesting backdrop. Yeah. Like, you never really found out too much about it, except that, like, oh, well, it's like space was divvied up between the Chinese and the Americans, and it's only the outer worlds that are like the Wild West.
That looked like Southern California.
Southern California, I was going to say. They're all.
Yeah, I mean, it was a cool premise that it was tragically, prematurely canned, and we didn't get to see any of it come to fruition. But that movie, it is kind of surprising no one tried to option that, and just because of how good it is, it's good that it didn't end up getting shoehorned into someone's. Well, the movie comes out in the fall. We could have a game come out in the fall. That's always the target time period. Get out a. We could just shit some game out that says Serenity. You fly this crappy Firefly or fly Serenity around in this shitty game and clunk it around a bunch of planets and shoot Reavers and
that's
game.
They probably just didn't want to touch the property, considering the.
That's
I
also
mean the
possible.
Movie was. Lucky that even came out.
Yeah. And then it came out on DVD like 2 months later and was the number one selling DVD on Amazon that entire month. Number two was the Firefly series. And it's like, how does that not tell you something? Maybe you should stop making movies and just make it
or
give the show money.
Or
again.
Maybe the people who bought all the DVDs should have gone to see the fucking movie in the theater.
It. Yeah.
What was number three?
If you want to support something and see more.
No one cares what number three was.
I want to know.
This was in 2005. I don't know. I just remember when it happened because I bought Serenity on DVD at the time. And it was right there on the list. Like, this week's top sellers, Serenity, Firefly, and then everything else. It's like, what? This movie bombed in theaters like 7 weeks ago. And now it's the number one DVD. You people. I also grabbed this of...
Less than you know. It usually is.
I like the game. That didn't happen.
That sounded like Uncharted dialogue.
It's less than you know. It usually is.
MMOs are
Man, this
are
is really loud. Like,
I
keep
I
turning
hope.
This down.
It's less than you know.
Yeah, those particular sound files are loud for some reason.
Okay, well, fair enough. So we don't want to see any games about Firefly, Serenity, nobody? I mean, if you could do it right, I wouldn't be totally against it, but Serenity specifically, that movie, it was a prime candidate for one. The release date, the hoopla surrounding it was the resurgence of a nerd property.
I'm kind of surprised it didn't get one.
Yeah. All right, next. Fuck, I don't remember what number one is to get number one right. Oh, wait, no, I think I got number one. Next one, surely you will have something to say about number something, which is...
As you wish.
It's kind of been done already.
Hang on. Let me do it again. Didn't pick it up. Edit. About this one.
As you wish.
it's kind of been done already.
Yeah, I think there was. It was like a browser game.
Yeah, it was like a casual.
Yeah, it was by the same people who made the Dirty Dancing.
Yeah, I was just going to say the Dirty Dancing. It doesn't count.
Which is the Princess Bride.
Yeah, so it's like, we can say that the game shouldn't be made of this, but one was.
But one was, and it was.
From what I can tell, it's the exact wrong kind of game. It's like a casual game aimed at middle-aged women. That's very simple to play rather than any sort of action game.
But wouldn't it have been, I don't know, was that just preying on, like, oh, all you 14-year-old girls who watched us in the 80s who are now 30-somethings and wish they could have a prince tell them as you wish, come click on these for free ringtones. Is that
no.
what
you... Well, no, it was an actual game.
Yeah, the Dirty Dancing one, I think, was just a compilation of dumb browser-based minigames. Right. And I'm guessing, since it was the same company, that the Princess Bride one was very similar. It was probably a selection of clicky minigames.
I doubt it had anything to do with what happened in the movie.
I mean, it was an actual product. It wasn't just like, hey, come click on our shitty website.
No, I knew it was an actual game, because I remember seeing the, like, getting assets for it, and everyone in the office, God, really?
Mm-hmm. I'll probably never play any of Telltale's adventure games, but I feel like that's kind of the only way to do any of these, is to do that style of adventure game.
You know, how you make a proper game? I mean, adventure game, maybe.
I can see what you're saying. Only on the Princess Bride of the ones we've talked about so far. I can totally see that in that Telltale format.
If you want to make it like about the actual movie and the scenes in the movie, you kind of have to do a slow-paced adventure style, I sort of feel. Because what are you going to do with the Princess Bride?
But if you do an adventure game...
Make a prequel about the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Ah.
You can't follow the plot, because then you'll know what to do in every situation. Like, it would have to be a different story.
But I feel like
some of those...
I feel like you can add puzzles into the story, but still have it follow.
And that
kind of
stuff was
done
all the time in the 80s. Yeah. Just add things.
It's like, what are you going to do? Make
change things a little bit.
Where, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't want to play him.
Like, to survive the torture machine that takes years off your life, you have to have the cheese in your pocket to convince the mouse to come chew through your bonds.
That's correct.
Like, Sierra would totally pull some shit like that.
You could potentially, I don't know, maybe on this one, maybe some of the other ones we've been talking about, do something where it's in the world of the movie and not the actual plot. Like, the Blade Runner adventure game was amazing, and it was because you didn't play as Harrison Ford.
Right.
You played as a different detective investigating different characters, and every time you started the game, every time you started a new game, it randomly assigned who was a replicant and who was not. So if you played one time, you could be a replicant while your love interest wasn't, and then the next time maybe both of you aren't, or maybe both of you are. Maybe you aren't, and the female love interest is a replicant and the bad guy's not. And it was just all in that world, because the world was so evocative.
I think this is a case where the world isn't. It's just generic fantasy world with kings.
Yeah.
And,
it might be enough for...
It's like Firefly, where the characters are why I want to watch that movie again.
Yeah.
Speaking of characters...
What are we on?
Inconceivable!
Yeah.
Inconceivable!
Yeah.
Inconceivable!
Montage!
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
What is that actor's name?
Mandy Patinkin from Chicago Hope.
Really?
And also Criminal Minds.
I didn't know he was doing other stuff.
I believe he played a Ferengi on Deep Space Nine briefly.
Oh, no, yeah, he played the Grand Nagus.
Oh, that's more okay than me saying Chicago Hope.
He played the Grand Nagus. Yeah, no, I meant the guy who said
that
word.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about the guy that
Montoya.
Has... Yeah, that's Mandy Patinkin.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the inconceivable guy.
That's Wallace Shawn.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Space.
And Mandy Patinkin of Chicago Hope.
Really?
It was also in My Dinner with Andre.
And Criminal Minds.
What is Chicago Hope?
It was when ER debuted. It debuted at the same time. For a long time, I was like, whoa, there's two medical shows on. One of them's super, like, action-packed, intense. The other one's more of, like, a character drama. Which one will win? And then Chicago Hope lasted a few seasons, and ER went on for, like, 20 seasons.
Yeah. What, damn it, I forgot what I was going to say.
Was it about Chicago Hope?
Oh, what's the name of the show? We keep talking about The Shield in here. What's the name of the next Sean Ryan show that's not The Shield?
Oh,
but
it's like
the
Chicago Code.
Chicago or Code. Something like it's like the exact same as a cop who doesn't... Well, he plays by rules, but they're his. But not by his own rules.
And he'll do whatever it takes.
Right. He'll do whatever it takes to keep corruption out? How is this an edgy show? This is a Take No Prisoners cop.
But then the guy
obeys the law.
He's a cannon with loose-ish bolts.
He's pretty much a straight shooter on a curvy road.
He's got dreamy blue eyes.
He usually hits his mark, though.
Mark's his partner. Fuck,
he's a cop sort of close to the edge. He might fall off if we're not careful.
Cop that keeps a respectful distance from the edge.
If somebody like ran up and gave him a shove, he might get close to the edge.
Which reminds me rather of that movie Loose Cannons with Dan Aykroyd.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Also reminds me of a new show called Outlaw. It might already be canceled. With, I forget his name. The guy who played, all I really know him from is the guy who played the DA on Dexter, who went evil.
No, none of you saw that. I saw the guy
today. Spoilers!
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Oh yeah,
I don't totally want to say his name now.
I totally just
spoiled
Dexter, like season four.
Yeah. I'm only like halfway through season three, so. Yeah.
Well, it's obvious that he's an asshole, but
you're talking about Jimmy Smith.
Yeah.
Is that yeah? And it's called like Outlaw, and then the whole thing in the show is about how he's a DA, like outlaw. He dangerously works within the strict confines of the legal code. That's all.
He's going to lawyer the shit out of this room.
And there's, I guess there's Outlaw, there's the Chicago Code, and there's another show that has a guy from the Shield in it. It's just called Justice.
There's also that Detroit.
Detroit 187.
Yeah, Detroit, exactly.
Which I thought was canceled. But apparently it's still there, because every time I turn on Hulu Plus, it's like
I think it may have been canceled, but they're going to run out the season that they have.
I think it's still going. Like I maybe there hasn't been a decision one way or the other.
I think it was canceled, and they're running out the episodes that they still have left.
Said like current.
As long as that sitcom about two fat people is still on.
Gosh! I was watching TV last night. There is a new reality show about, it's called, like, oh god, totally gonna ruin it. I don't know what it's called, but it had a really funny name.
Wow, okay.
Fat people say the darndest thing.
Yay! It was about people losing weight before their wedding. It was called like Shed for Love or something like that. Oh no, I just totally ruined that story. Oh yeah, I'll think of it like 20 minutes from now.
It's a twist, because if they don't shed pounds, they have to live in a shed.
So true.
What were we talking about?
We're talking about Detroit. We're talking about number two, probably, which is Twin Peaks.
Really? That's not a movie. Oh, it's... Yes, it was.
It was technically a movie later.
Fire Dance With Me?
Fire Dance With Me.
Fire
I
Walk With Me.
Theme.
Walk With Me!
Oh, sorry.
You should be.
It's pretty uplifting.
Isn't the footage just like saw blades being made in a factory?
It's such a weird, like, serene, and you're like, isn't this supposed to be like the creepiest, weirdest show of the time? And like, inspired X-Files and all this weird stuff. And the opening is like, this is really boring.
Hmm.
But that music just makes it feel so important. Like, it's so. I really think they should be able to sue Remedy for Alan Wake just by watching Twin Peaks.
Hmm.
It's like, no, really, that's. People already did this entire thing.
Yeah.
They did it more creepy. Anyway. But they put it in here just because it was a movie, so you can get off on that point, but...
Fire Dance With Me?
Fire Dance With Me?
No.
Fire Jog.
Yes. Fire Creep With Me.
Fire Jog?
Jogging?
A soft J?
Huh. If you're Swedish, maybe.
Shed to wed?
Shed to wed the shed.
It rhymed.
Wed the shed.
Wed the shed.
That's a different shed.
Just imagine a giant tool shed and then bridal gown.
That's about a hillbilly planning for his wedding with a shed.
How big is the bride? About 6 feet wide. 7 feet tall.
Half and get triple wide just for the bathroom.
Even fit two riding mowers in her.
Goddamn runny eggs.
But I don't have the document in front of me, so I can't tell you why Twin Peaks is in this list. It does seem like a Silent Hill.
Because we don't really need another Alan Wake, maybe?
Yeah, well, now that we have Alan Wake, which did do this idea competently, it's just it basically took it wholesale from Twin Peaks.
And didn't do it.
And Deadly Premonition, also.
Yeah. And it didn't get nearly as weird as Twin Peaks did, as from what I've heard, anyway. Alan Wake. Deadly Premonition did.
Hmm. Yeah, that's sure as fuck did.
Yeah.
So then you have two arguments, because Deadly Premonition shows that you should make a game out of it.
Yeah. But it's like the X-Files resistor serve game wasn't that bad. I mean, it wasn't fantastic, but it came after the show, I think. Yeah, the show was already over, but they still got like Mark Snow to do the music, David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson to do the voices, like, and then they wrote it as if it were a new episode in like season 5 at the height of its popularity. And even though Twin Peaks has been off the air for, I don't know, probably close to 20 years at this point, like 18 years or something like that, it's been off the air. I bet you could, that there's enough, you know, percolating recognition in the internet that you could make a pretty reasonable game, even though he's saying here they shouldn't.
You should make a collection of mini games like Princess Bride and Dirty Dancing.
It is one of those things I'd rather they just left it alone and somebody made a better movie or show out of it. Then why would a game be the way to do this? Like, this is a director's. This is a way you want to have a story told to you, not play through it. Mm-hmm. I'd rather just experience it than have to, like, clumsily guide a guy down a forest. And
all of these could work as text adventure games.
Tell me more.
That's all I need to say.
It is true.
Exit, 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 exit.
Are we on number one?
I think it is called Shedding for the Wedding.
Oh, there for fuck's sake.
There it is.
That's pretty good. Wait, let me slowly get to... Okay, yeah. Number one is, is a fantastic movie. Star Trek II, The Wrath.
Really?
That's awfully specific.
That's very... They should just stop making Star Trek games.
Yeah. They really
they
need
never
to
work.
They really need to figure out what the fuck to do with Star Trek games.
That one that was like based on Unreal, that was supposed to be pretty okay.
You sent your phasers to frag.
Yeah.
It was not good. But the problem with Star Trek games is they keep confusing what people like about Star... Like, it's the ships, right? You want to see a big ship battle? Even recently, they had a trailer that came out that was
For that web-based game.
Yeah, it's a new Star Trek game, and it's like, look, the last three Star Trek games you made, that DAC, Legacy, Conquest, or whatever the PS2 one was, it's like, they're all terrible, because these ships are huge, impersonal, meant to be designed as you know, battleship kind of... Not even battleships, not even like... designed to be fierce looking, because like, when you see a battleship on the ocean, you're like, that thing looks like it's going to fuck something up. But a spaceship just is very sleek.
No context for how big it is.
How big anything is, and you're always in space, and it's like, well, if I want to play this correct, this thing is going to be slow as shit. Or flying four times the speed of light. Like, they're not meant for dogfighting. And so that's why in the trailer for the new game, it's like, here's a Defiant. Here's 17 shots of the Defiant flying around, because that's the only ship that anyone knows from Star Trek that is a nimble attack craft, and it's only really in Deep Space Nine. And they made a big deal of it, because look, we have a ship. It's not a huge ship, and it's not a shuttlecraft that does nothing either. It's about... That's it! That's all we got! And then so they just load up this trailer with, you want to see the Defiant? This show has been off the air for 10 years, Deep Space Nine. Like, if you want to make a good Star Trek game, you need to play up the fucking characters, not the ships.
It's got
to
be like Mass Effect, but with Star Trek.
That's it. That's exactly what I want.
And did you ever play the, I think it was the 25th anniversary Star Trek PC game that came out, like, roughly 1990, 1991, somewhere around there?
No.
The adventure game?
Yeah. That was pretty fantastic, I thought.
But really? I could see an adventure game would work.
I played the demo. I got kind of bored, and I remember getting kind of middling reviews, so I never bought it.
That was probably the Star Trek product I enjoyed the most ever.
But I can see them making it work. That
I just remember certain things. Like, it was like, well, let's take the plot of like four or five old Star Trek shows and make each one a chapter of the game.
So that sounds perfectly
good. Did you ever play the Klingon FMV game?
Yes.
No.
Which was interesting because
sorry,
it's like,
continue.
Well, they've got enough leftover footage to make a game out of it.
Probably the thing I remember best about it was just like, there's this part where like these space pirates have taken over the bridge of the ship, and you have a decision as to how you approach it. You can try a diplomatic approach and talk to them. You can go in with like phasers on stun, in which case they'll like kill your red shirt. You can go in phasers on kill, just vaporize the fuck out of everybody, and they'll kill your red shirt.
that's one of the...
You try to talk them down, they'll still kill your red shirt.
That's one of the properties that you like the Blade Runner game, where the world is obviously interesting and beloved enough that you can make up your own characters, your own ship, your own planets, and just do whatever the hell you want in that universe, whatever kind of game you want.
It also works... In the past, there have been RTSs that were actually pretty reasonable on PC. And it's like, those work too, because you're controlling these huge craft from a very pulled-out view. So you can still get a sense of scale, but still see them on a wider space battlefield. Whereas like Star Trek Legacy, it was like, you're controlling the Enterprise clumsily. And it's like, I'm controlling a ship with like 1,000 people on it that has all these subroutines and phasers and photon torpedoes and a main deflector dish and warp nacelles and a warp core breach. It's like, you can't... like just reduce all of that to
A button to shoot, B button to torpedo. It doesn't work.
Even with an RTS, though, even if it was functional and worked fine, it, to me, I don't see how that could feel like a Star Trek game, really, because it that's feels not like, what Star Trek is about.
Yeah, I mean, but Star Trek does end up having a lot of wars in it, so I'm totally fine with one game just being like, here's an instance of where the Borg are fighting the Klingons and the Cardassians come in and then the Breen come in and the Federation comes in to try to stop them. You guys stop fighting. And then the Ferengi throw a quarter at them, whatever they do. That's a really good joke. You'll all get it. Go look up the Ferengis. Like it. It's hilarious.
Yeah. We'll laugh at it.
What's this about the Kardashians?
Keeping it. I really want to see Keeping Up with the Cardassians.
You could also do a bully-like game where you're in Starfleet Academy.
Oh, yeah. I would be fine with that as
That'd
well.
Be cool. And you punch out the football team.
And you make out with Spock.
And they could literally like give you anything to do in a simulator like as part of the game.
Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It could be fun.
If all the energy that went into making crappy Star Trek games was diverted to creating a real holodeck, we might have a real holodeck.
I mean, but then we'd have to divert energy from the shields.
it seems like a weird thing. Like, every Star Trek movie would be weird. As I don't know.
Well, the only I think it's not ridiculous to suggest that because you would never have thought they'd make a Godfather game and then a Godfather Part 2 game.
Yeah.
So it wasn't that because they stayed away from the plot of the movie? And
the first one they did it, and it really worked well. It was like, here's a character who doesn't appear in the movie, and you're just a random henchman, and this is stuff that happens, you know, outside of the movie. But it was kind of like fan fiction that paralleled the movie's plot. And then the second one I could never get into, but it was like, the modern day, the quote unquote modern day stuff, the stuff that happens in the 50s in Godfather 2 was to me the least interesting part. So, you know, I didn't care about it.
And I feel like, I mean, Paramount's moving much more on. I don't know. Paramount can't get their shit together in the first place. They made last year's Star Trek 2009 movie, but then still promote weird things using next gen characters or keep licensing these games that are full of all the old continuity they try to pretend doesn't matter anymore. But then they're trying to sell it to the same people. They're trying to sell this new movie with the new cast. So I could totally see them being like, well, I don't know, man. Some of those old movies are pretty classic, and Wrath of Khan is so well made, and there's a cool space battle at the end, and I don't know what. We could probably license that and get a good game out of it, right, and make a couple bucks. And like, I could totally see them doing that, and that is one of those things where it's the people and the characters that make that movie so good. Like, Khan and Kirk never meet that entire movie. They never share a scene together. They're never in the same room. They're never in the same... I don't think there's ever a point where they're even like remotely physically close to each other at all. They see each other on screens. They talk to each other over audio, but they never interact. Yet that's like the most memorable, well-paced, well-directed Star Trek movie ever.
I disagree.
You disagree, but whatever.
Aren't they in a scene together when he leaves them stranded?
No. He's talking to him over an intercom.
Wow.
They're not even like... When he's yelling Khan, he's yelling into a microphone. Like, and then it pans out and he's trapped on him. He's like, I'll bury you alive.
I don't know. I don't think you could do that movie justice as a game now that Montalban's dead. Like, unless you could bring him back. Well, unless you can get him to record lines, it's kind of a
unless
bust.
Unless you can dig up his corpse and tie his vocal cords in through, like, some kind of, you know, stretcher machine and then have a robot.
I'm just saying, like, a sound alike wouldn't be the same.
Yeah, it would. Like, he brings
lots of people
this,
can
he
do
brings this, like,
Montalban impressions.
Like, shameless gravitas to that role he's acting... I can feel his bare chest when when I hear his voice. Like,
feel it rubbing up against your
chest. It's just the way he goes into that role. It's like no one else can do this properly. And I'm scared to death that they're going to recast Khan in the next Star Trek movie because they've even said, like, we can do whatever we want. It's a different timeline, but it's kind of the same. We could remake Wrath of Khan if we want. Please don't just do the exact same thing. Please make new stories.
Whatever they do.
Or remake that episode of the TV series into a new movie. That would be horrible.
Well, the thing is, Wrath of Khan is based off of an old episode.
I know.
Called Space Seed.
Yeah, well, I saw Wrath of Khan on TV for the first time, and like immediately after that, I think it was like TBS or something, they played the original episode that Khan came from.
Oh, really?
From. Yeah.
That's cool.
So I was like, that's pretty neat.
I hope there's a porn called Space Seed.
I'm sure there is. Yeah. That's top seven, probably.
Maybe. Probably.
I didn't count them, but...
unless it changes.
I guess
probably left one or two out.
I still see, like, anime anger lines coming from Chris's desk, so I'm assuming he's still mad. But he's working on a video that should be really cool and totally worth him yelling at me.
He's leaving.
Oh, bye, Chris.
We're sitting here like chumps, and he's leaving.
What a dick.
Is he leaving the building?
He has his bag over his shoulder.
He deserves to lose all his Twitter followers.
That's right.
All of you unfollow
Chris. They
should
all come to me.
Well,
that should be taken as an act of contempt toward you, the listeners.
So the next thing we were going to do is I just loaded up a bunch of phone calls. We actually asked you guys to call today, and rather than dip into the lengthy backlog we have, we're just going to go through these, see what you guys had to say. Hopefully it's not all just, "Hi, I'm calling because you told me to." And then we'll react to them, and then the podcast will be over.
Yay!
Well, this is Ashley, long-time listener, Wolfover listener. Oh, my God.
No way!
What?
One, love you guys. I just wanted to let you know that I live in Canada, and I just pull over on the side of the road.
What's up?
First fucking night, snowing, and I was just trying to go out with my friends, trying to talk to this guy, trying to get laid, and it's fucking snowing now on the second goddamn road, and I'm pissed off. You guys like it when people call when they're stuck in traffic, so I thought I'd let you know that I'm stuck on the side of the road waiting for my parents to pick me up. It's all right, though. I talked to that guy, so I might get laid, but I'm still on the side of the road.
I will be in Canada this Christmas.
What was the question?
God, how many of our listeners are not going to go like, if you're looking to get laid?
Oh, yeah. She sounded hot.
Todd, I was about to do that right now.
I should have played this sooner. But I didn't get to it. This one is also from November 19th. I guess there wasn't a question there. That was more of a I'm hanging out. Sorry, it's snowing already.
Yeah, that
you
sucks. And you're stuck in traffic. That sounds shitty.
But I mean,
in Canada, that sounds kind of shitty too.
No, Canada's lovely, except in the winter, where I'm sure it's just
it's really cold.
It's a snow coffin.
It depends where in Canada.
Or snoffin.
Snoffin for short.
Hey, Talk Radar. It's Faison 117.
Hey,
I just wanted to let you guys know that what you're doing is awesome and greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
And also, I've read a lot of top sevens in my time, and I wanted to know, what's your favorite top seven you've ever done, or your favorite top seven you've ever read? Jeez. Thanks, and I love the show. Keep doing what you're doing.
Favorite top seven.
It's like asking, which is your favorite school assignment that you've done? We've done so many.
I think mine was...
We've never done that.
No,
no,
quiet!
No, dang it!
We're sitting on that one until the week we're canceled.
I feel like we have because we talked about it so much. Okay, cut that out. Sorry.
The idea.
Just bleep it. Can you bleep it?
It's my favorite.
Too much work.
Jeez. Wow, I really haven't done
nudity. You didn't notice.
I like the traffic on that one.
Yeah.
Had the word nude in it.
I did it started as a top seven, the mispronounced game names, but then it ended up getting flushed out into a whole other. I just that's the kind of shit I really like is mispronounced game names, things about box art, things about packages, the cartridges, all this shit that's like, oh, you thought you knew
a lot about
games. Now here's another level of stupid nonsense.
No idea you were interested in that.
In boxes?
Games? It's not like you've done a massive feature about them.
I like that inanimate objects actually worked. Like, people actually were interested in inanimate objects.
Top seven inanimate objects.
And Winter Wonderlands, that was a very atmospheric one.
I like all the ones I wrote a lot.
Yeah, me too.
I remember
the ones I wrote, I mean, not you. You suck.
Detailed argument over what constituted an inanimate object. That was it. Seems like it would be cut and dry, but we had a very lengthy discussion about that.
It was what all were the companion cube and Kerbo Shoe from Mario 3.
Jeez. I liked Lovable Blobs.
Lovable Blobs was good.
And the Whoops Your Evil moments.
Whoops Your Evil was good.
I liked the concept of top seven canine companions. As much as I love Tyler Nagata, I wish he had left it top seven dogs.
Dogs.
Just saying.
Yeah. That one was covered in Talk Radar 17.
Not even video game dogs, just dogs.
Just dogs, because that's what it was originally.
Although Shark Attacks, I love, because we had that discussion, too. It's shouldn't it be video game Shark Attacks? People aren't going to be Googling video game Shark Attacks.
I love that for a while, I don't think it's that way anymore, but if you Googled Shark Attacks, we came up on the first page.
Wow!
And it's like, really? There haven't been more people get eaten by sharks, so we can bump this top seven off the list.
Damn.
Next one, November 19th as well.
Hello. This is Big Boss from the forums.
Hey, Big Boss.
Proven to be quite expensive to call you guys.
Oh, gosh.
Looking forward to the podcast you're recording, and hurry up and come to London. It'll be lovely to meet you guys one day. Don't get too drunk. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
We should go to London.
I've never been. I would love to go.
London for us all to go to London.
London was literally just calling.
I don't have any sound effects to make fun of you.
Last time I was in London, I was cold and miserable.
Because
it was in November over Thanksgiving.
Because it was any month.
Yeah.
I will say that future UK editors come and visit us quite often compared to the zero times we visited them.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess this is a more happening place.
They're in back.
That's true. I totally forgot. In that top seven, Kill Bill was also one of the entries.
That's your
dog. No, but too late.
I've ruined it.
Yes,
too late. Gone.
Wasn't there going to be a Kill Bill game at one point?
Maybe.
Isn't that in the works?
Maybe. Is this the sound from it?
No.
I was trying to find dramatic impact.
Oh, it's called Eagle.
That's the thing. I asked Chris for sound effects, but he's so busy and he didn't give me any. So
busy they just left like 10 minutes ago.
Do you mean the thing from Ironsides by Quincy Jones?
Probably not.
I don't know. I would know
the
that thing I just said. Yes.
Not that one.
Oh, okay.
The dramatic eagle one.
I think a Kill Bill game could work though.
With a Wii sword game.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's like the way Kill Bill takes that genre of film and makes it ridiculous. You could take that genre of video game, an action game, and make it ridiculous. Kill Bill, it's not. It is about great characters and dialogue, but it's also just kind of about being ridiculous in its own kind of made-up world where everyone has a sword and fights, and that is a video game already, kind of.
You could do it all on Kinect, and at the end you have to step five steps away
no,
and
don't
die.
Do that. The only good use of that.
What was that?
Hang on. I have a very important message from Paul.
Right?
Talk Radar. This show am good.
Oh, I'm really just trying to pull whatever sounds I may actually still have.
All right, next call.
That's
racist, Paul.
Hello, Talk Raider. It's Video Man from the Thorns, and it's currently the 18th day of No Shave November. I'm 15, and I have a nice bone and beard and a nice mustache, and I'm wondering,
nice, right?
When did you guys shave? I started at age 13, and I didn't have those little baby mustaches. I had a nice, like, thick Mexican one, and I'm wondering when you guys started shaving. Thanks.
I remember first time I had to shave was in 8th grade, so like 14. It was just my nose, my upper lip. Is that what he was asking?
I don't remember.
Yeah,
probably when you shaved off your fuzzy mustache.
My first one, I was like, yeah, it was 8th grade, because I wasn't paying any attention, and somebody at school was like, man, you stupid lip. So I went and did
it. Yeah, I think I just kept the fuzzy mustache until finally my parents were like, here's an electric razor for your birthday, please go shave it off.
I still don't shave.
God.
No, I do, but only because I'll get that. Like,
right.
I can't grow a real beard. I'll just look like this patchy, weird,
that's
homeless
what
guy in the hate.
It's fun.
I remember having a talk with my dad because I like started growing that same weird peach fuzz mustache, and he's like, you know, finally he's just like, you know, if you shave, it'll grow in faster and thicker. And so it's like, okay.
Or at least when you let it go.
Probably
13, ridiculous.
14.
Carolyn, when did you first shave your legs?
How do you know she never?
My mom wouldn't let me. Oh, really? My parents were strict.
Shave your legs?
So
yeah.
You had hairy legs for a while?
It wasn't out of control.
But some women get fuzzy mustaches too. When do they...
Yeah,
they shave those?
That's unfortunate.
Did they pluck those?
Yeah.
How did they shave them?
No.
I have an important message from Chris this time.
Oh, God, that is important.
That is his actual burp, by the way.
God. It's like Tuvan throat singing. I can hear three distinct tones.
Well, it is an orchestra of offensive noise.
At the end, it starts to, like, he starts to wheeze at the end of it.
And like his throat is crying.
Yeah, it's like a rattling death noise.
That pretty much maxes out the timeline every time I play it. So maybe not
it's good
do that
to play
again.
More.
All right, next one.
Hey, gentlemen, it's Ampersand here from the forums. Got a little cold going on, but that Jurassic Park music really helped it out. Thanks, Brett. Anyway, I was just wondering if we were going to do a community play date for Black Ops, or if we were ever going to do that Street Fighter 4 tournament mode game. So, just letting you guys know, remember how great you are, and how much I need the podcast, so keep it up. See you guys later.
That one's called Console Dozens 2.
Wow.
That would have been the perfect time to play that Black Ops audio. That guy...
Oh,
complaining about the tiger guns.
That's a good point, though. We did that marathon with Modern Warfare 2 last year, and we didn't do it for this year.
Well, it happened didn't do it this year because, one, that game, every year Activision releases a Call of Duty the week of my birthday, And it's been that way for the last 4 years. Hmm. And this year, the Friday that we would have normally done that, it was my birthday, and I didn't want to spend my birthday.
You should have sacrificed for
that. Thank God.
I did last
year. Last year, the Friday, like the day after my birthday, instead of going out and drinking and having some kind of birthday celebration, it was like, well, let's just stay here and have a marathon.
How do you think
of
Activision feels?
Modern Warfare 2. I still don't have a copy of this game,
poor
by the way.
Poor Dan Amrick.
But
they can sponsor us with energy drinks, and then we'll worry about how Activision feels.
No, Budweiser.
No, that's Black illegal. Ops. Illegal. I would love to do more of those. Like, I'd love to, get, like, every Friday we can play a little bit, but it's just always so difficult. And same thing with Street Fighter. We do have a new video player now, though, which it doesn't right now, but I think before the end of the year will enable live streaming, so you can just watch it in that player rather than have to go to Ustream and all that stuff. But when that happens, I would love to, every week live stream some game, either us playing and talking about it, or it's not a full marathon, but I mean, just like we'll play Black Ops for a couple hours, or we'll play Donkey Kong Country for a couple hours, whatever the case may be. That's kind of it.
That functionality is built into the player, so it shouldn't be too long before.
Yeah.
It should just be an on-off thing.
Yeah, I just think the version we have now is still not fully there. Like, you can't, there's no embed code with it, there's no file sharing or linking in it, but there will be. They've got to add all this stuff in over the next, they just put it up this way just so it's there and you guys can see, look, there's a player that's not, doesn't make you want to twist your head off and throw your monitor across the room.
Chris should do a live stream where he plays the entire Epic Mickey, just giving you boring Disney trivia the entire time and crying to himself.
I'm sure he would love that. I would probably listen to most of that. If I could play, what would be an equivalent? I don't know. I would actually probably watch that next.
Hi, T-Dog. This is Hobo Jesse from the forums.
Hobo Jesse?
I was just wondering, what's the hardest part of your job? All right. Hope this is played. Thanks. And so, see you on the next podcast.
It's the hardest part of our job?
I guess the hardest part of our job.
Or did you say our favorite part?
Let's see again.
I was just wondering, what's the hardest part of your job?
Sounded like hardest. Yeah.
Chris's dick.
Jesus. Harley, that's just rude. Wow.
Writing. Thinking of things to write. That's pretty difficult.
Thinking about writing.
Pretty honest answer. Yeah. It's just the crushing avalanche of things we try to do.
Like, yeah.
Getting it all done.
Getting it
part.
All done. Like, I mean, like this week, Monday, I posted a Slack review, and then Wednesday was that huge box art feature that was 4,000 words, and then Friday today was Donkey Kong Country review, which I had to play, beat, and write the review through the course of 2 days. I mean, like, that's a lot of stuff, and then in between, I'm trying to do this now. And then Michael's been in Assassin's Creed for 2 weeks.
Yep.
Tyler's got news list every day. Carolyn's got it every week, has this Pokemon thing, plus previews and reviews stacking up. Charlie, as soon as he finishes a feature, there's now a trip to go see something from this company or that company, or go up to see Bungie, or go down to see Activision. It's just like it never stops, and it can get really trying at times because we're not a very big staff, so it's hard to, spread all that work around. And it's just sometimes when people get piled up, and like right now, Chris is obviously he's trying to do this very. What's the word I'm looking for? I'm so beat down, I can't even think of the word.
Elaborate.
Elaborate, but when you mean well with it, you're trying really
enthusiastic.
You're trying really hard.
Enthusiastic.
No, it's gonna
hard trying.
No. A labor of love.
No, God damn it! Really,
passion project.
When you're trying real hard.
It's Drew Mendoza.
Fuck.
That's what it was. That's what you're looking for.
It's on the tip of my tongue.
A fuck project.
When it's you're maybe reaching beyond your bounds, but you have to push it. And
piano,
try,
doorknob,
try
airplane,
it see.
Overreaching.
No, it's not overreaching. Helping. It's a good. It's not, it doesn't have a negative connotation. It's a good one.
We should do an entire podcast. We're just trying to think of words.
I'm literally this just so destroyed.
Cheryl.
Destroyed this week that I can't think of inspiring words. Forget it. Who cares?
Inspired?
No. I swear to God, every time I'm about to say it, it just jettisons out of my asshole, and I can't think of it.
What's it start with?
Starts with God damn it. All right, next one, forget
Ambitious.
It.
Ambitious.
Hey, this is
maybe
Zorak
that's it.
Garrison. This is Zorak Garrison on the forums, although I've only posted in the forums 5 times trying to win shit. And the only time I did was the time that I threatened to come down to San Francisco and wrestle Chris Antista. And I want to wrestle Chris Antista. I just wanted to call and basically celebrate that I've written and submitted my first freelance video game review for EA MMA, and I will be published in Wrestling or MMA Unleashed magazine. Wow. So, looking forward to that.
Congratulations.
Henry.
Kudos.
Henry wrote it.
Ardent.
Should have said
ardent.
Ambitious is kind of
I
what
think
I
was ambitious.
I think it was... it probably was ambitious. I thought there was a... What's a stronger form of ambition? Who cares?
Driven?
Driven.
Obsessed.
Obsessed.
Like we're becoming with this word.
No, I wish... yeah, you should have said what you gave the score, because I know... I think Henry gave EA MMA an 8. I think he said it was good, and I can't remember... I don't remember if he said it was good or bad, but I remember him saying the ground game.
It's just as good as Halo Reach and Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Yes, Donkey Kong Country Returns.
Out right when he said something technical about MMA.
Yeah. And I don't want to talk about Donkey Kong Country in a minute, but Jesus Christ. Next one. Hurry, 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 hurry.
Hey, guys. It's Mike Sayers. I also go by Smikey1123 in the forum. I just wanted to say Tuesday is my birthday, and I'm sitting around playing a marathon of you guys' podcasts and playing Xbox. Just wanted to see you guys rock, and Brett's music of the day has gotten me into video game music, and I greatly appreciate that. You guys are all wonderful. Have a good one, guys.
Wow. Well,
thank you.
Well, happy birthday.
Yeah,
and
happy birthday.
I hope you don't mind that there have been almost no game music of the days this week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because I have not had any time to do them. Carolyn did, I think, the last one, which was DDR.
Which wasn't even an original DDR song. sorry, guys.
And then the last one I did was last Friday, and then, I mean, I'm gone all next week, so I don't
Maybe it could
know.
Be game music of the month.
Yeah, It's just too busy. It's too much going on.
We'll just work an end of the Platinum Chalices, make it game music of the year.
Probably.
And the year will be 1987.
You get a feature. Here's the last game music of the days for the last 25 days.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Hey, Talk Radar. This is Hank Cranky Movie Nerd, or Spock's Jock on the forums. I just wanted to say that you guys do a really good job on everything, and I really appreciate it.
But.
And I know people complain when you guys like rant too much about stuff like Transformers last week, but I gotta say I really love hearing you guys get so impassioned over something. And like after like the whole spiel that Brett did on last podcast, like I immediately went out and watched the Transformers movie, and I'd never seen it before, and I was like, holy shit, it's like Galactus knocked up the Death Star and lured in Orson Welles with wine. So awesome. Anyways, yeah, so I just want to say quick thanks. And small question, what do you guys think of Machinima, out of curiosity, thinking if people use games to make movies? I really like Red vs. Blue, but I never hear you guys talk about it, so I just gotta ask. Anyways, thanks for everything. Bye.
So
the French champagne was celebrated for its excellence. There's a California champagne.
Unicron, everybody. Some Unicron.
So is Cranky Movie Nerd his legal name?
That's what he uses. That's what he messaged me. Legally, Mr. Nerd.
I'm indifferent to it.
I'm kind of indifferent.
I like the idea, but I don't watch it very much.
It's a thing that exists.
I think I saw Red versus Blue like do a thing a few years ago that was like real world versus online, and like talking about politics, and you know, real world is like two people going like, oh, that's an interesting viewpoint. I disagree, but it's your opinion. And then online is just like this crazed thing with people leaping all over the place. Yeah, fucker, I'm going to kill you!
That's pretty much how it is in the real world now.
But that was a bit of a tangent, but yeah, it's just...
Machinima is just a way to animate anything you really feel like, so I think it's going to come down to the individual. Like, there were some great Portal ones that I enjoyed, but I don't seek it out necessarily.
Yeah, I definitely never go looking. I mean, Halo lends itself to it because of Forge and the camera controls you can use and
there's
the custom
faces, so you don't have to worry about animating faces.
Yeah, that definitely helps.
That's also kind of why I don't watch it, because just guys with no faces of different colors, like, hey, I'm the red one. This is my personality. Yeah. I'm the blue one.
I don't
one.
Think it's particularly special as a medium, like, over traditional animation or anything else, so
if it's done really well, it's good. But
I love seeing the Gary's mod when there's things are just flying around.
Just hilarious. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. That's hardly mission. That's more just like, this is weird. And, you know,
yeah.
Look, this guy's twisting.
And the Idiots of Gary's Mod, that series on YouTube.
Love that.
Yeah. Also, the Transformers movie is not awesome.
Yeah,
none of them are.
You're Charlie, we are movie enemies.
They are increasingly more awesome as you add Shia LaBeouf.
Well, I agree on the most recent.
That's why Transformers 3 is going to be the best, because that's 3 Shia LaBeoufs.
Oh. That's unacceptable.
I just want to see, like, a giant pile of Shia LaBeoufs.
I wish all the Transformers...
Like, preferably in a sewer somewhere.
Optimus Prime should transform into Shia LaBeouf.
I still have all these sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
He was dying in his chair as he records these voices.
Yeah. That movie would be better if they replaced...
That's not modified. That's how he actually sounded.
They should replace Orson Welles' voice with Shia LaBeouf's voice.
Mm.
It's okay. Got just as much gravitas.
Yeah, it'd be like Hayden Christensen in at the end of Return of the Jedi.
God damn it. Then. Next.
Hey, it's Stefan or Crazier on the forums, calling up from Canada. Love the show. You guys rock. Just wondering, is there anything you've done in a game and you felt bad afterwards? Either being in the game itself or the aftermath of deciding to play the game instead? Okay, bye.
Yes.
Wow, that was abrupt.
Yes, GTA San Andreas. There is, at one point, some construction workers annoy your sister Kendall, so you go to the site and kill a bunch of them, and then you trap their foreman in a porta-potty, bulldoze him into a pit of quick-drying cement, and basically just bury him alive in his own shit.
So?
I just...
Whatever.
I just kind of felt bad.
Weekend.
I what the fuck did I just do, and why? There was no reason for that.
Remember, a lot of people always mention that scene in God of War where you push the guy in the cage into it, but like, I feel bad just playing Kratos. He's such an asshole. Every single thing he does... Even when he's killing somebody that deserves to be killed, he does it in such an over-the-top, gratuitous manner. I was like, it makes me feel disgusting every time I have to go through one of those quick-time executions.
I felt bad, even though I know the time period is, you know, kind of acceptable, but I still felt bad killing many animals in Red Dead.
They would have killed you if you hadn't killed them first.
Well, the mountain lion.
So you don't feel bad about killing people.
No, the people, they got guns. They wronged me somehow. The animal was just there, but some reason somebody to progress the story, I have to go kill this bear.
You were selling all of its fur and tooths. And
yeah, but at the same time, it's like, well, the first thing you kill, it's like, well, there's rabbits eating the, I don't know, McFarland Ranch's crops, and then the wolves are eating the rabbits. So you like, but it's like it makes sense because you're on the frontier, you're growing your own food. I get it, but it's just I still feel bad doing it.
The wolves look identical to my old dog, so it'd be like akin to like shooting your best friend in the face. Like if it was like so accurately rendered, like it's not.
And then the sound they make, and it's like, I know it's a game, but I still feel bad. When I'm like, hey, a skunk, I only need 3 more skunk pelts, and I get this stupid thing I'll never use. And then I shoot a skunk, and it's like, the thing I shot it with is like cartoon level violence to kill this tiny animal. I did not need a shotgun to kill a skunk because there would be nothing left of the skunk if you shot it with that.
Dude, I think there is nothing left of the skunk if you shoot it with a shotgun.
I picked up
something.
I don't
think you get to harvest the pelt.
Really? So I shot something that it was comical. This level of like, really? There should be like dust left and like a cartoon smoke wisp coming up out of the ground.
I did feel bad shooting the horse once. I think I had to shoot a horse to get rid of it to get a new horse or something like that.
I had to think...
It's kind of hilarious that shooting animals is what makes us feel the most bad. Like,
what makes you feel the most bad?
Then also, I remember feeling like a jerk in like KOTOR, playing the Sith side, because it was like no matter what, I don't know, the things you did were always very mean spirited. Like I can't remember how it went, but like that, you get that girl to kill her boyfriend or the Wookiee.
Yeah, Mission Veo.
Yeah,
you have the option to. What is it? Like, you're going to kill her and Zelbar, I think is the name of her Wookiee, who like, owes a life debt to both you and her. And so you can actually, rather than... I think you can kill them both yourself, or you can force Zelbar to kill Mission.
Mm.
Which is like, you know, she's like his little sister. So it's, like, exceptionally cruel.
Yeah, and it's like you just do a lot of, like... Someone will ask for your help. Can you please go get this? Yeah, I'll go get it. And you come back. Thank you. Give me your money. Why would I even agree to help them?
and then come back and then punch them in the stomach and take their money too. Why didn't I just punch them in the stomach and take their money? Mm.
I felt bad making the fat kid barf in the flashback game.
He doesn't just barf, he pisses himself.
I wanted a free iPod. And
anyone else?
I felt bad hitting the pinatas with the shovel and Viva Pinata to the point where I would never do it.
It does feel awfully disciplinary.
It was an extremely realistic animation, too. Like, it feels like hitting a person in the head with a shovel. Like, the sound and the feel of it.
It's pretty mean for such a cute
and
game.
You have to hit it multiple times to get it to die.
But the badge sickle is eating the wrong thing.
Well, no. You turn the sours good by giving them Yeah, so there's no need. There's never a need, children, to hit the pinatas with the shovel.
Contrary to them being pinatas.
I will say, oddly enough, it was playing as the good guy in KOTOR that gave me like a crisis of morality, because I just kind of like, I got to a certain point, I'm like, wait a minute, am I doing this because I'm genuinely a good person, because this is what I do in real life, or am I doing it just because the years of playing video games have taught me to think this is how I'll get a reward? Mm. And like, is that the reason I do everything the way I do it? Like, do I do it just because I'm, you know, because it's the right thing to do, or do I do it because I think, well, this is that what is I'm supposed to do? Is it really coming from me, or is it coming from conditioning?
Well, that's the exact reason. Yeah.
Next on Fox News, do kids getting points for killing people make them want to kill?
Well, it's the same
thing.
Do you do good things because they're good things? You do good things because you go to heaven if you do good things. Yes. I guess. It's like, are you good because it's good, or are you good because otherwise you go to a bad place?
I just think it's weird that it was Knights of the Old Republic doing good that sparked that questioning.
I have one more, too.
Okay. I have one more as well.
Oh, okay. You go, Charlie.
All right, you go.
Okay, well,
I was about to say you go back and forth for 10 minutes.
I'll just say the entirety of Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah. After, like, the first one that I killed, I'm like, wait a minute.
I have one that doesn't involve killing and violence. Anytime, like, in KOTOR or Mass Effect... Basically, in Mass Effect, where you romance both love interests all the way through until they make you choose, and then that moment where you choose and see the other one's like, it'd be a complete, like, oh, I never cared about you. All this time I've been flirting with you? Yeah. No, that didn't mean anything. You're wrong.
It's like, there's no middle ground. We're like, look, hey, I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
I hate you.
Yeah, I was in the middle ground, like, where I didn't know which one of you I liked. I was kind of trying to decide, and I'm going to go with her. Sorry. So I'm like, what? You thought I liked you? Idiot.
So mean. I didn't mind letting that bitch Ashley die, though.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, if you played as a woman in the first one, you don't feel bad with either way, because the Caden dialogue, he would initiate flirting even if you very firmly said no. Mm. And, like, everything you said, like, oh, would you care if I died? Well, of course I would care if you died. Oh, Commander, stop flirting with me.
Women! Cheryl's, being sinister.
Why is Cheryl poking
her through our window?
I guess she's leaving.
Everybody's leaving.
Yeah. All right. Well,
it's Friday and we're here recording a podcast.
Yes. Next one.
Hey guys, it's Mike Sayers. I also go by Smikey 1123.
Yeah, wait a minute.
I want to say Tuesday is my birthday.
You already told me it was your birthday. Happy birthday!
How many times can be one man's birthday?
Yeah. Hello, Talk Radar. This is Manuel, aka Peace for Me. I just wanted to say you guys are doing a really good job. I can't believe how awesome these podcasts are getting each week, and I love the micro power sound effect. So play that more. Thank you. Bye.
That's only the tail end of it. Well, it's really loud, and I can't tell what part of it is being too loud.
There it is.
Maybe it's my laptop.
Yeah.
You all can hear it, though, right?
Yeah.
All right.
We're doing a good job. I want a report card.
Show yourself.
All right, no more Transformers. I loaded up a different one to see if to replace the one that was the duplicate.
Hey, T-Darts, it's Anders in Denver.
Denver
doesn't exist.
Enderobatus on the forums. I'm not good at interacting with online communities. Just wanted to say, love the podcast, guys. Keep up the good work, and Chris, you're always appreciated. We all love you. Stop crying.
He's not here to be appreciated.
Yeah. He's at home crying.
He'll never know because he is too busy crying.
And then I want to reach way back into my old stack of phone calls. This one's from April 27th.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Mark, also known in the forums as Halo Reach makes my balls tickle. And yes, it does. Anyway, I was watching a report.
He hadn't played it yet.
Wait a second. He might have played. No, the beta, I don't think it had come yet.
Halo Reach, come on.
On violent video games on my local news, and for some reason, they were talking about Call of Duty 4, but they were showing people playing Halo 3, which was just fantastically stupid because they don't know anything. So I was just wondering what either pissed you off or made you laugh because it was so stupid that the media has done portraying video games. Thanks, guys.
I think podcast 44, actually. We did that. Yeah. Michael had that top seven hated habits.
That's another favorite top seven, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Oh, another one of my favorites was...
worst hated scenes in Uwe Boll movies. Media.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. That was hilarious.
I love that. But, yeah, I mean, I worked in TV news for a year and a half, and I... Thankfully, because I was there, anytime games came up, they would ask me, like, what does this mean? And so I could kind of guide them, but, like... That kind of thing where they show Halo 3 and say Call of Duty, it's like, they don't care. The people on the anchor, they don't read.
Yeah.
They read what's in the prompter. They really do. And if the video doesn't match what their words say, like, that's there's five different people responsible before the show goes on the air. So any one of those people could have just said, I don't care. And like it takes like several people caring to make your broadcast news be accurate. So if even just one of them is like, eh. Mm-hmm.
What's worse, though, is when they actively act like they do know what's going on. Like, the Mass Effect Rape Simulator, to me, was, like, the worst one.
Sex box? Because you have a choice to romance a character and see less than PG-13 nudity?
And she only admitted that she was wrong, finally, because everybody went and left horrible comments on her Amazon book review.
Which she deserves for being a lying idiot.
I think my personal favorite annoying habit is when they... They like have a bunch of like this is a child behavioral expert to talk about how horrible video games are and like well the research shows and they never cite actual research. It's just like I once heard that some research shows this.
Some people say
and then the people that they usually get to that they usually trot out to represent the other side, the video game industry, is like some guy's 14-year-old son who plays video games and he's like totally inarticulate, like, yeah, no, it totally sucks. Parents are trying to tell us what to do.
Just get off me, man.
Yeah, man.
I didn't ask me to get a job next.
What was that one with the DS baby game that had said like Islam or something?
It's just a game, man. Like that's the always the fallback.
Oh, yeah, that Christianity makes my tummy hurt.
Never mind the recent Yale study which concluded that games almost definitely don't harm children.
Well, I need the Harvard study.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Harvard may have a dissenting opinion.
I also need the Cornell study.
Exact same
yes. Alright, next one, also from April 27th.
This is Austin, or Rabid Beaver, from the forums. I don't post very much, because I've been gone because of the military. Just wanted to say, I've only missed four podcasts, and that's when I was in basic training. And as soon as I was done with basic training and off in station somewhere, I got caught up. But love the podcast. You guys do a great job. Keep me entertained when I'm driving, I'm out in the middle of nowhere, and I'm stuck out in the field. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Wow. Damn, I'm glad we can make it more bearable.
Yeah,
that's kind of flattering, actually.
To think about, think about him listening to us like out in the field, listening to our stupid conversation.
I don't know where he's deployed.
How inspecific he was. He was a base somewhere.
Somewhere.
I'm Area somewhere 51 is my only good guess.
East Germany.
Yes.
Okinawa. Awesome. Nah, I doubt it's that cushy.
Well, thank you for listening, and I mean, that's definitely a extreme situation to be listening.
Yeah.
Regardless of if you're active deployment or sitting at a base somewhere. Yeah,
listening
you're
to probably us bitch surrounded. About our jobs.
Yeah, you're probably...
Man, it sucks.
Yeah, it sucks so hard. I gotta get up at 9.
Oh, man. I gotta write a thing.
Meanwhile, he's surrounded by heavy weapons and probably walls of steel and some kind of armored vehicle.
It's like hearing actors complain about how grueling their jobs are.
I gotta get in the role, and I mean, I'm only gonna get $20 million, but I mean, after my agents and everything, I'm only really getting like $8 million.
Mm-hmm.
How I can barely sustain myself.
And during shoots, we have to get up at 5 a.m. because the light's so much better.
Three days in a row, we had to do that.
It takes me 4 hours to put my makeup on, but I look incredible. Mm-hmm. Boo hoo. Last one from April 30th.
Hey, it's Sarcastic Irony calling in to ask you, the hosts of Talk Radar, what your favorite moment recording Talk Radar would be.
That time Chris farted.
if you can't think any,
that's every
any,
week.
I'm sure you can.
Point exactly.
What have your favorite moments as a games journalist been?
Ironically, that wasn't
talk
sarcastic.
To you later.
See
you at 100.
Yes.
See you at 100.
I told you this from April.
Wow. Why are all the phone calls from April 27th and 30th and then November 18th and 19th?
Well, no, because I was trying to keep up on them from like March through June, but there's so many the show's already super long as it is. We were trying to find a way to get them out, and then just these huge backlog piled up. Then I handed them off to Chris, so now he tries to go through the new ones as we get them, but even those back up. So then I had him give me this week's calls, which is what most of these were, but then just because I was like, well, I'll pick a few out of my old backlog.
How many are there still in the vault?
I bet over 100.
It's
these people don't even listen anymore.
That's possible. I'm sorry.
They're probably dead.
Keep listening until you hear your phone call. It may take 200 podcasts, but we'll...
What if there's like a cancer patient calling in? They're like, I have 1 month to live.
He needs to text me and tell me so I can prioritize his message.
You should give out your phone number right now.
It is. It's 1-877-404-1337.
That's not your
That's phone my
number.
Phone number. All
right. That was my favorite Talk Radar moment right there.
Yes.
I
don't know. We just
games journalist
I definitely
moment.
Enjoyed like tasting the crystal and... And then we spilled it everywhere. Yeah,
and we tasted it in a completely wrong way.
Yeah, you didn't even chill it.
It was hot in paper cups. So that was fun. Definitely the PAX cast where we did the live podcast.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing.
I assume that was not fun to listen to for everyone else in the world.
Not.
It's probably was a mess of noise, and we're all way too drunk. But, I mean, it was a complete blast. And that's a lesson to you to buy your plane tickets and go to PAX next
Seriously,
year.
Start saving.
Yeah, like make it a point to go because it was
I
amazing.
I got to sit next to Jim Sterling. Next year, you could too.
Yeah,
that's right.
And we had Mitch Dyer and we had Dan came on for a while.
Yeah,
and,
you awesome. Can give them all a piece of your mind. Seth was there as well.
Yeah, he didn't get to come on though.
No, he was too busy being cool.
He was playing Street Fighter and various related games. I don't know, that's kind of... Those are what stick out of my mind.
Yeah, PAX was good.
All right, well, fine.
There you go. Very good.
Fine, all
yeah.
of them.
Yeah.
That's kind of all I got.
That's all
so
I
it's
got.
After Ooh. Five, and it's the point was to have this an hour, and it's an hour and 18 minutes. Of course, it's longer than we wanted. But
Michael's yawning.
It's Thanksgiving weekend. Like I said, Blick 4-day deals are on Games Radar right now, so if you're...
Black Ops Day.
And also, mm-hmm. like Henry pointed out, after Chris spent forever compiling a huge list of actual physical deals to go see, Henry pointed out, well, you could just check Amazon. They'll probably... And they do. Amazon is really good. So check Amazon, like just F5
all
day.
What he said was Amazon will match other prices.
They'll match a lot of stuff, but I mean, they just constantly, like all day, just F5 that fucking games page and see what's mm-hmm. going on. And follow our Twitters. Well, Chris's Twitter. He'll probably be actively tweeting the deals. I won't because I won't be near the internet.
Go to Games Radar and F5 that all day as well.
Yeah, just do it for the hell of it. I mean,
you might see something.
And click around. Otherwise, our bounce rate's really low, and I don't want that either.
Yeah.
Bounce rate, everybody.
There's a certain number of refreshes that you do that something magical happens.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many it is.
It is a secret we've built in the site.
It's an Easter egg.
A great extra work.
But as far as teases go, the last thing I'll have written before I left for vacation was the Donkey Kong Country review, which is up now, and I gave an 8 and a surprising number of dissenting comments from people who've never played it, but I guess that's the way it goes. And also, it seemed to be... I thought I made this case very clear that the complaint is not that it's a hard game. Like, I have a problem with hard games, and I'm not good, which that you're displaying your incredible ignorance and not bothering to read anything else I write or listen to the podcast or follow up on me at all, so that's your problem. My problem with the game is that it's hard in a fucking unclear, unfair... Like, it's not fun to play the same level 50 times. Not 50, maybe more like 18 times, if I want to be literal, because it's not every... five steps is another thing that didn't happen until that second, a new thing that's happening to not... There's no prompting to go, like, what action am I supposed to do? Like, Mega Man 9 or 10, those are hard games, but I beat Mega Man 9 on a normal fucking impossible mode. I had to beat all three versions for the review, and never at any point did I not know what I'm supposed to be doing. I knew that the bosses were hard, and that there's a pattern I had to learn, and I probably died a lot because of it, but I never jumped and thought, fucking B button, no, and this Donkey Kong, it's this waggle, there's a lot of weird waggle controls that it was like, why didn't you just have this support classic controller, and then I could have played it like a normal person, and I probably would have been much happier with the game, because when you're already losing a lot because the game is hard...
Brett, you don't understand how hardcore waggling is.
I forgot, yes, I forgot that now we've accepted waggling the remote as serious business.
It's not even about casual versus hardcore, the point is that a platformer like that requires precise...
Yes.
Precise inputs, and the waggle is not a precise form of input. It is they are mutually exclusive.
Some people it may not bother, like, but it drove me fucking nuts because there'd be times when I shake the remote, like I thought I shook it enough. Apparently, I didn't, so I didn't do the roll. But I pushed A to jump as if I were doing a roll, which gives me a long jump to cross this big gap. Nope, I didn't do it. I just tumble off the edge. Motherfucker, I'm now dead. I didn't hit a checkpoint yet, so now I got to go back to the beginning and do this whole level again because of this stupid waggle. So that shit drove me nuts. But it's otherwise a really fun game. It sounds like I'm like weighting the controls too heavily or something, but like most of the game was amazing, and there's a ton of really cool levels, both visually that do cool stuff, but also like really satisfying jumps and difficult levels that when you beat them, you're like, man, that was like 2D at its finest. That was great. And then the next level, it takes 17 tries to do it because it's just not clear, and it's everything's paced in this weird way, and I don't know.
If the game is so good, then why'd you give it an 8?
I don't know. An 8's a shitty score.
8's the worst score you can give a game.
Tell me about 8s, Charlie.
They're great.
They are great. People don't want to read anything. It's too hard.
Mm-hmm.
So anyone else teases what's going up this week of Thanksgiving? What you doing?
Everything's already happened at this point.
I think I'm doing next week's top 7.
Oh, the following weeks?
I think I'm doing a top 7 for mid-December. We'll be starting. I'm really just starting to prepare all the end of year stuff, which is always fun.
And you also will have seen some stuff from Bungie.
Yeah, that all happened earlier this week.
Yes.
Went to Bungie to play the new maps. They're free out on November 30th, so you can see the video that we took, and we have some strategy tips from Bungie, which that's all about went on Monday, and also a behind the scenes photo tour of their new office building, which is pretty cool.
Did you try to peek through any windows to see what you could see?
It's just a lobby with lots of halo decorations for the press to see, but there was a glowing blue door leading up some stairs, which is clearly where everything else is. That's probably where they're working on their secret MMO project. It had a sign saying no unauthorized access. I just took a photo of the door. So I was like, oh, it's funny. It has signs saying this is where everything cool is happening. And I walked away. 5 minutes later, a security guard came huffing and puffing into the press room. And he's like, you. And I was like, looked over my shoulder, like, oh, he must be talking to one of the PR guys. He's like, no, you. Did you just take a picture of that staircase? I'm like, like 5 minutes ago. The staircase out in the front lobby. He's like, yeah, don't do that. And they just walked away. He didn't ask me to delete the photos. Just don't do that.
Okay. Wow. Well, I hate when it's like, I just got to be over here and do some push-ups in front of you to show how strong I am.
Yeah, I just want to make sure you know I'm mad at you.
That's annoying.
Did you take a photo of the secret MMO laboratory?
We're working on.
Don't do that.
Halo MMO.
So if you want to see that photo, go back and look at that, because I'm definitely putting that photo in the future.
Yes. But you have to make sure to yell at everyone who reads the article.
It's like Homer Simpson describing
don't look
a
at
musical
that
instrument.
If you look
Halo
at page,
MMO.
Don't
do that.
No, don't.
Like 5 minutes.
I need you to close your browser and remove your cookies and your cache. That won't change the picture. Just do it.
I'm sure he's well-meaning, though.
He's not.
He's scary, but well-meaning.
Anyone else? We good? We done?
We're done.
Yeah. Got a Golden Sun review going up on Monday.
Oh, yeah. That's up now. Golden Sun for DS. Oh, how are you liking it so far?
It's really good. I'm really enjoying it.
It looks very pretty.
It's very pretty. The summons are out of control amazing. It's very much akin to the previous two Golden Suns, but prettier and a little more refined. The battles.
And the graphics.
The graphics. The shops are really awesome. I guess it's going to be past the embargo by the time. Okay, so I can say whatever. It's awesome. It's so far. I mean, I'm not finished with it yet, but it's pretty easy. That's the only negative I can say so far. Definitely not a hardcore RPG, but it's very enjoyable.
Too bad nobody likes that game or is looking forward to it.
I think there's a lot of fans of the original Golden Sun.
No.
I think your strapline should be very enjoyable.
For fans of the genre.
It's generally remembered as one of the worst GBA games.
Very enjoyable for fans
of
the genre.
Which one?
Golden Sun.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
generally thought of as
a terrible, terrible.
I never played any of them. And I
one,
feel like
one of your hates should be like, why didn't they just put this on PSP?
That'll be my strap line.
It'd be prettier and better with crippling one analog stick nub bullshit. I'll be playing Ease 7 over the break, and maybe a little Rock Band 3 for DS. Anybody going to take any games home?
I'm about to finish Phoenix Wright 3 from 2004.
Ooh.
Wow. Well, 2004 in Japan.
I was going to say, this came out in
2007 US.
Yeah, it came out way later here.
Well, technically, wasn't Phoenix Wright originally a GBA series?
So the first one was.
All three, the first.
All
the first
three
were. Oh, were they really?
Yeah. Well.
The first one that was that premiered on DS was Apollo Justice.
Yeah, that's the first one was made.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
And the fifth case of the first game.
And exactly.
So I'm about to finish a GBA game.
Yes, wow. Good job. Mm. Did I take anything home for Thanksgiving?
I don't know. I'll be at home at my mom's. So.
In Canada?
She has a Wii. No.
Well, you can play Donkey Kong Country. It'll be out.
Yeah, I guess I could. Me and my mom played through all of them together.
It's definitely fun.
She would enjoy it.
It's just really tough. And I don't mind it being hard. It's just, it will be a lot of, like, how could I have guessed that that's what I'm supposed to do?
I want to catch up on games that I just feel like I should play. I should probably play through Black Ops, I guess. Because I've just recently been doing a couple reviews for PC Gamer and playing very mediocre.
I
played Bloodstone.
But Blops on launch day.
I didn't like Bloodstone.
Still haven't had a chance to play it.
Well, once you do, it'll take you a day.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's what happened with Mawa, too. Like, I started it at like 11 and like 4 or 5 a.m. It's like, I just finished the game.
I finished Modern Warfare 2, a few days later, I was like totally willing to play through it again. When I finished Black Ops, I was like, all right, that's it forever.
Oh, before we leave, though, question of the week last week. We won't have time to go into the answers, sadly, because we're don't have the capacity to look at them on this machine, and kind of decided we were going to do this today. So,
one-word answers.
One-word answers. But for the question this week, just a Thanksgiving video game memory that you have. Like, a lot of games obviously release in November, so a lot of games end up coming out the week of Thanksgiving or the week before, and it always also means there's going to be a four-day weekend for school in the U.S. at least, so I know it always meant to me, like, man, I'm going to have 4 days to play that game. I got... The thing that comes to my mind is Ocarina of Time, because that came out in 98 in November, and just a couple of weeks later, well, I think it came out very close to Thanksgiving Day, actually, and I remember Thanksgiving Day was the day I saw Adult Link for the first time, like playing through the game and going through those first three areas, and then now, oh, he's Adult Link, and thinking, and then eating Thanksgiving dinner. So that always stuck out for me.
Yeah, I remember that too, because it came out while I was on Thanksgiving break, and I had a pre-order at the Toys R Us at near my college. So I actually had my girlfriend at the time like go and pick it up for me. Like, I left her with money, and then she got to play it before I did, and it's like, oh, that kind of pisses me off, but it's a trade-off. I'll know I have it. I won't go, and they'll be like, oh, I sold out, sorry.
That was a problem.
We don't have any more gold cartridges, sorry.
Yeah, my friend, the Toys R Us near us that I ended up working at the next year, they got it before anyone else, but they only had the gray cartridges.
Oh, shit. So, I'd be pissed.
Oh, yeah, everybody was getting mad, but then we got it at an EB game, so we got the gold one. But, yeah, to this day, my friend's like, God damn it, this stupid gray Ocarina of Time. Anyone else? It doesn't have to be a game you got on Thanksgiving, but it usually Thanksgiving break always usually meant for a lot of us playing some kind of game.
I don't remember. I mean, I don't remember a specific I played this game during Thanksgiving break memory.
Yeah, I've spent, I think since 1998, I've spent every Thanksgiving like in a tent in the mountains, so there's no way to play games.
DS, Charlie.
No.
Game Boy.
It's too cold. It's too harsh. Too hardcore up there.
Well, that sounds like a fun Thanksgiving.
I'm like
over a fire.
I'm bungee jumping off of cliffs.
Star Trek V, the Final Frontier, begins out there.
Thanksgiving 2005, I went to visit home, and I remember, like, the extended family came. My grandmother came, and my uncles came, I think, and just like had the Xbox 360 for the first time, and got to set that up, and my dad had like this huge projection thing in the basement and played it on that, and like just King Kong. It was like, it was dark as hell, but everybody was very impressed. It's like, ooh, this is the new latest thing.
Anyone else? We good? I did manage to get this loaded up, so just so I can run through. Although, to be fair, last week's question of the week was what's your favorite game packaging, because of the feature that went up. But it just posted today, so there's not very many responses yet, so I can run through them pretty quick. Twitch Art, the oversized Mario Paint Super Nintendo box. I really did enjoy that. It came with the mouse pad and the mouse. Really was, felt like you were buying a kiddie Photoshop device. Really cool. That's all.
That's the only one.
That's it. It's the only one. A for Extreme is a sucker for anything in the Steelbook. That's like Halo 2 Collector's Edition, Metroid Prime Trilogy. Black Ops comes in one, the Prestige Edition. Padrino just is NES and SNES boxes in general. Same 510 Brother Panda. They feel and smell more nostalgic. Like IKEA's packaged furniture, you can flat pack cardboard easily, unlike plastic DVD cases. Ambient fragile jewel cases from the original PlayStation, which are basically just CD cases, which I always found, despite my immaculate gamekeeping, would be cracked or break in some fashion, no matter what. Let's see, Strangle Me. Those Genesis boxes were really cool. The Sega Genesis thick plastic cases that were basically like a DVD case now, but they held a big cartridge, so they had to be even thicker. But for some reason, I got rid of all of those at some point, because I kept them all till I was like 24, and then at that age, I'm like, time to throw them all away. Like, that's after the age I should have known. Like, I should have already gone through that at like age 12. Instead, it was at 24, and that's old enough to realize, why did I get rid of this thing that I'm now nostalgic for, like, the next day? Vent Anger Ultimate Unreal Tournament 2004 DVD box came with a big thing. More like, wait, what is this? More like Scott Butterworthless.
Wow.
Said WoW's fold-out packaging sold me the second I saw it. And moving down to the last few, tuck in your poner. I like the big cases PC games come in. I left out PC games from that list because it's like every game for years was in its own, like Tomb Raider's in this weird triangle
I love
box.
The Tomb Raider one.
Yeah.
The Prince of Persia 2, the original one.
Really? They always have like the front flap that comes off. Like,
yeah.
And there's like all more pictures and text.
I would just read all of that over and over again, like in the stores. Mm-hmm. Like, I would open the flap and read it like 8 times and then go back to the store again. Like, Dad, can I have this one?
Like, going to Best Buy PC game aisle used to be so much fun.
That was when, going and looking at video games was still enjoyable.
Yeah.
Now it's like, oh, there's the front cover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mega ZD said, and this is something I was actually going to point out in the article, but I thought that's too specific. But he mentioned it: greatest hits packaging for Tekken 5, and it worked well because Tekken 5's spine was all red, but then the greatest hits for PS2 is a red bar at the top, so the whole side is just this consistent red. And I don't know, I just thought it looked kind of cool. Red Eater says nothing will ever beat that original Zelda box with the hole cut out where you can see the cartridge through it and the shield. Tattooed now on my arm forever. Cloven 64, the Fallout 3 Vault Tech with the Pip-Boy arm thing. I wish it worked and fit on your arm. I know that's kind of ridiculous, but...
Yeah.
And then Bone Squall also said those giant PC game boxes that had strategy guides manual, best represented by Age of Empires 2.
Yeah. I just thought of one that some people might remember.
What's that?
Neverwinter Nights actually came with a CD, like a multiple CD sleeve. And the thing is that there were empty slots for the expansions that they were going to release later.
Wow.
Like, this was way before DLC became commonplace, and you'd buy expansions like, oh, here's a $20 CD, and like there were sleeves specifically for each expansion that was going to be released later. Which I don't know why anybody would bother buying an expansion, because the game was huge to begin with.
Yeah.
There's also I don't have any personal experience with this, but I've read about it and written about it. Like the old Infocom text adventure games would have feelies in them. It'd be like something like from the game world that would just be in the box. Like for a horror game, there'd be like a little rubber bug in there that matched something you see in the game. Often that would be announced. They'd just be in there as like a little prize.
Huh.
Maybe like a... an ID card that was like an ID card of a character in the game.
Right. Some kind of tactile thing.
Yeah, to make the game feel visual and real and trigger your imagination, because it's all going to take your imagination. It's all black and white text.
Right. That's a good idea.
Things got crazy when they introduced colored text.
Colored text. Now I know who's talking and which side of the conversation I'm on, because I'm the pink text.
Ooh.
And they're the blue text.
Hmm.
So that's it. Go to GameZone.com/forums. Do you have something?
I was going to say, I really like the Japanese packaging for the Pokemon games. It's always better than the US version. Different? Well, like, for example, in Diamond and Pearl, like, my Diamond import copy, it's all holographic and shiny and pretty. Yeah. And then it's when it came out... Too. It didn't have the Diamond and Pearl didn't have a sleeve, yeah. And then when it came out here, it was just really dull. It was just like a powder blue kind of gradient color, and I was just like, "Wow, we really can't have nice things, okay?" And then I don't know how the packaging is going to be when it comes out here, but our black and white copies were really sweet. Like I got Pokemon White, and Grimm is playing black, but like it has this really sweet sleeve on it where. You pull off, it's like, it looks almost the same, but then when you pull off the sleeve, like, Zekrom and Reshiram's, like, tail goes crazy, like, lights up, like,
that's neat.
It's really sweet.
The extra mile.
Yeah, but we're probably not going to get that here.
No, probably not.
It's not going to come in a sleeve. Well, it could, but yeah. I doubt it.
Alright, so that's an hour and 40 minutes, which is 40 minutes more than wow.
It's par for the course.
Alright.
Yeah, spoiled bastards.
Yes. Go to gamesrunner.com/forums. Let us know your Thanksgiving game memory. We'll probably read them next week. And then give us a call on the hotline. We should be pretty caught up with very recent calls, at least. But we will still continue to just plug through those. But yeah, the phone number 1-877-404-1337, extension 327.
Will Chris be back?
Chris will probably be back. He's working on a video. It's an Epic Mickey related thing, and if it works out, it should be really cool, and I know he'll really enjoy it. So he's probably just getting frustrated because it's going to eat up a lot of time, and if it doesn't happen, he'll be pissy pants for like a year. So, but it's a very cool and ambitious idea. So the song taking us out this
it's
week.
An ambivalent idea? Ambivalent. Why would you say that?
Ambiguous.
sense.
It's ambro... How?
Ambrosius?
Microphone hit me in the mouth. Song taking us out this week is the credits music of Donkey Kong Country, because I love that ending music so much. I'd like to give a shout out also. I do like Donkey Kong Country Returns. I just had a problem with that really uneven difficulty crap and the waggle, which is garbage. But the music is very good. They do a really good job of like really picking the songs that stuck out, and like Aquatic Ambience is in there in a weird way.
I don't like what they did with it.
It's bizarre, but they acknowledged it. And there's a ton of songs that are if you love the first Donkey Kong Country, you go, oh, I know that song, I know that song, I know that song. And the credits, there's a shout out to this song even in the credits. That'll take us out, and we'll be back next week.